Welcome to the All Wheels Rolling podcast. My name is Mark Hamilton, and I'll be your host. We are powered by Bourgeois Midland Nissan. They are part of the Bourgeois Auto Group. You can see their new and used inventory online at bourgeoisnissan.com. The Crank and Sprocket at crankandsprocket.ca for your bicycle needs in Orillia. And christinepratt.ca for all your physiotherapy needs, christinepratt.ca. Hope you enjoy, folks. On today's show, we have Eric Van Wiesenbeck. Eric is a longtime cyclist and repeat guest here on the show, one of the founding members, I guess, of the idea of this show. And we also have Steve Elliott. Steve started cycling in 2019 while recovering from a lingering back injury suffered on training run a few winters ago. His main focus is running, and more specifically, the marathon. He trains with a post-collegiate group called Black Lungs Toronto. They are, one of the Canada's fastest marathon-specific teams with a focus on cross-country in the fall. He's also the head coach at Georgian College cross-country team and Athletics Canada certified endurance coach. Obviously, due to the current pandemic, cross-country and coaching duties have been sidelined this year, allowing him to focus on the bike longer into the season. Steve is 36 years old, married, with a 7-year-old daughter. Together as a family, they ride mountain bikes in Copeland and a lot of rail trail. By trade, he is a union sheet metal worker for Black and McDonald. He focuses on large-scale projects in downtown Toronto. We also have Jesslyn Chandler. Jess is an ex-high-performance long-track speed skater that has recently developed a serious passion slash addiction for cycling. Currently, she is a full-time student at Ryerson for environmental and urban sustainability and hopes to combine her passions of sport and environment sustainability in the future. Via Strava, she is connected with the cycling community very recently, as I just found out, in Barrie, and is enjoying some new roads and new friends. Excited to see what the future holds. Steve and Jesslyn are both new into my life. I just met them in the last week, and pretty excited to talk to them. Well, welcome to the show. I've got Eric Van Wiesenbeck, Steve Elliott, and Jess Chandler. Welcome. Thanks for, I have to say thanks up first for last Tuesday. You guys were awesome and pulled me back in. I fell off on the rail trail ride and, I basically had said, I'm out, like, I can't hang on any longer, but, You guys were good and waited, so I appreciate that.
Well, good, yeah. That was a fun ride on Tuesday.
And I didn't realize you were going to go and do the full rail trail.
Well, on Tuesday, neither did I.
I was floating back and forth in the group, like, you know, just dropping little lines, seeing who was going to nibble on them, and we managed to string something together.
Nice.
And I knew he was doing that, and I was hoping. I think, oh, don't ask me. Don't ask me.
So, you had mentioned before on the podcast, because it's forever now, you thought your first time would be like a recon mission, and then there'd be a follow-up after that.
Yeah, it didn't work out that way.
No,
No, Steve had, as you said, on Tuesday, planted the idea, and I couldn't say no.
Right.
In spite of myself. And, so we just went for it on Friday, which was an adventure. So I'm sold. Like, I'll do it again. I was pleasantly surprised, it exceeded my expectations.
So, first time, Steve?
First time,
Jess? First time. That was more gravel than I've done in my life before. That was my first real experience on a gravel ride.
Roadies for all three road bikes?
Yeah, 25s for me, 25s.
25s.
28s.
You guys need to, we have had this discussion, you need to get on the 28s. Yeah. Ditch the 25s. They're not worth it. It's 28s where it's at, right?
Oh, man, no going back for me.
Yeah.
As I said before,
It's all I could think about on the ride was like just a wider tire just to get me on top of the gravel instead of in the gravel. And
I think at first you start off and you're like, oh, okay, this is fine. And then somewhere along the lines, the gravel like hits and you just get to that next level and you're like, oh, wait, no, this is not okay. This is not all right.
So I was trailing off at the back because that's where I was on Tuesday night. And there was a bit of a hiccup, I think around line 10. or 11?
Oh, yeah, it got a little bit washy.
A little scrambly there?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How'd you guys make out with that?
Because
that was dark.
Yeah, and we knew it was coming up, and we kept waiting. Was it line 9? Is it line 10? We kept saying back and forth, what line? It's coming up. We know it's coming up, and we just... Did we even notice it?
Oh, yeah. I remembered it from last time.
Yeah.
I was pretty on the watch for it.
Yeah.
I almost went down on the Tuesday ride, so I was...
I think the washiest part of the trail right now is around between Elmvale and Snow Valley.
Okay.
It was, like, seemed pretty... Is that right? Between Elmvale and Snow Valley?
Yeah.
Or in that area or... Yeah, Phelpston.
Where you go through the golf course.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's pretty...
Yeah, it was pretty trash through there, but...
Yeah. So that was you who got a little scrambly on Tuesday night?
Yeah, I almost ate it on Tuesday night.
Kudos for the save.
I would, honestly.
Just saved it. And then, I mean, our whole ride on Friday, we had a few hiccups there. I went down, crashed, not even on gravel. That's the thing. It's not even like I have an epic, like, falling on gravel story. We were on the bike pass in Oro. And
Aurelia,
sorry.
Yeah.
And... There was, we were turning a corner and there was a guy and he had a dog on a leash and his dog was on one side and he was on the other side of the path. So it was like a clothesline wire right across.
Locked up.
It was me. I was up front. I locked it up and then I had no time and then it was just like behind.
And just like went right over.
Yeah.
So I mean, learned that you can use your leg warmers as a compression bandage if need be.
I did see a photo of you guys, and you had
I wasn't going for just like the one leg look. It served a purpose.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I ended up being okay. I definitely didn't go as hard down as Eric did. Crashed
down same point.
Also on pavement.
Yeah.
No, at a different point.
Oh, okay.
On, you know, 13 Bridges?
Yes.
So just whatever, southwest of Penetang.
Yep.
And it had been raining prior to that, so everything was wet. And we were, like, ripping through that. Just, you know, it's beautiful. And rolling up and down over the bridges. And Steve was ahead of me, and I saw him take a straight line, and I was too far to the left, and I thought, oh, this isn't good. And I had to turn a little bit while I was on the bridge. I had to turn.
Oh.
That was it. Boom. I went down, like, so fast. Anyway, sort of careened off the railing and then over onto the pavement on the other side.
Like, slid.
That was a wood bridge?
It's a wood bridge, so it was just like grease, right?
Wood.
Smooth wood
and
water and probably a little bit of whatever, moss or whatever.
It was
you get your mountain biking more, because then you would have known that.
Oh, yeah. You know what? The only thing that would have saved me would be 25s with spikes on the tires, 28s with spikes on the tires, you know? It was so slippery. Like, honestly, my wheels just shot out from under me.
Yeah.
I went down hard. So anyway, that was painful. I trashed my kit. The kit that I was telling them, the Dutch kit that wife bought me 4 years ago after I trashed my previous Dutch kit in another crash on the one on 27. So anyway, so that was the end of that. But I rode home. These guys, man, they pulled me home. Like, I was not pulling hard after that.
Yeah, I bet.
I was pretty sore.
Yeah. I mean, I thought ride was going to be over after that point. Like, because I was in the back, because I dropped back to take some pics, and thankfully it did, because I think if I was right behind you, I would have gone down as well, for sure.
Right.
100%.
You would have been on top of me, right?
And then, Yeah, so I thought it was game over there, but no, Eric was...
Yeah,
so
I wasn't sure either, right? When I sat up, I was
like,
fuck, I was so... Excuse me, I was so sore. And I still am. Like, what really hurt was I went down hard and just my body aches, like my back, my upper back and shoulder blades are just like really sore. The muscles all, of course, clamp up, right?
Yeah, you don't even know you're doing it and you tense up.
Oh,
as soon as you know you're starting to go, your body tenses to try and save yourself. And then, you can be a wild letting that sort itself out.
Yeah, so I got a bit of road rash, but that's not the worst of it. Like, it's my back is really sore. So anyway, I've just been taking it easy. I'll be fine. Luckily, nothing broken. But I sat up after the crash and I was like, oh, geez. And I was right away, my thought was, okay, I don't want to trash this ride. I want to go. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of taking inventory. We know
what's the bike. How's the bike?
Is
the bike okay?
I mean, we were collecting your phone out of the bushes and we were putting the lens back in your sunglasses. Like, it was nasty.
Oh, no. Full yard sale.
Yeah, my helmet hit hard too. I noticed it. It's not cracked, but it's got
you can see it on
the side. It's dented in, so I should replace that. Anyway, so all said and done, I took inventory and it was kind of like, okay, I can ride, but yeah, I couldn't put any more efforts in. Steve and Jess pulled me home, like literally pulled me home. I think I did one or two up front.
I had some good pulls still.
Yeah, it was a token effort.
I think.
Like, sorry guys, I can't pull anymore. Two pulls later, you're going 33 up there.
So
but,
true.
Anyway, so survived, and the bike was okay. Straightened out the handlebars and set the brakes, and we were back at it.
Yeah.
So.
Thank God it was an adventure.
Steve
stayed on his bike.
Steve stayed on his bike.
We had a three.
Real
I think I said on Strava, I'm better at causing the accident.
No, I know.
So, I'm a helmet guy, so yeah, please get a new helmet.
I will.
Yeah,
I'm due for one anyway.
Yeah.
That clinches it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, let's get down to brass tacks then. Which way did you go? This is a bit of a debate point.
Counterclockwise,
starting from where?
Yeah.
From Barrie. Yeah, we wanted to do the official route that Brendan has posted on Simcoe Cycling.
Okay.
And so we started downtown and made sure we got through at that starting point at St. Vincent Park, and that's where we finished as well. So
okay.
Counterclockwise was on Joe's advice primarily, but I had heard others, and we looked at Adam's. I think Adam's fastest ride is counterclockwise. I'm not sure about that.
I think so, yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
So that was...
Yeah,
kinda,
I'm not sold though that would be. Yeah, I still think I feel like coming in. Like, I mean, we were suffering so bad coming in from Elmvale. I feel like I would have rather suffered from Oro. You know, when you hit like 11, 10, you get a better idea of where you are.
That's a good point. It's familiar territory.
Exactly. Yeah, for me, but.
And
I don't
think, had any of us ridden the Elmville down? So I think that was all brand new roads for us. So we had no clue what was coming. Like, absolutely no idea what we were going to face.
So you guys stopped, I saw a photo, you stopped at the, just north of Elmville, there's a water fill station.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah, I knew about that because my parents, I was telling these guys, my parents used to live in Wyville. And every time we went up, we'd fill up a jug of water, and they were always driving by there, you know, when they were commuting wherever. And they'd have jugs in the trunk, always, and every jug, and fill up with spring water.
It's far more elaborate than when you're a kid, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. When I was a kid, it was a pipe sticking out of the ground, and the water's just, like, gushing out of it, right?
Exactly.
And now it's a pretty fancy setup, for sure.
So both of you are new-ish to cycling?
Yes.
Yeah.
So are you aware that there is also one of these on the 6th line near Ingham Road?
No.
You're not aware.
I'm not either.
So
I've heard about it, but I don't know where.
Oh, no. So I know Creemore because I've driven by it, and I know now Elmville. So
there's one on. So if you go, however you go, but Ingram Road and 6th line, if you just come down the hill, sort of towards Lake Simcoe a little bit, it gets really marshy, and it's just kind of a valley, and then it goes back up. At the bottom of that, you'll see there's a little path. And there's a pipe random pipe sticking out of the ground.
No way.
And it is beautiful water.
That's good to know.
Those are lifesavers.
Oh, it's a lifesaver.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You got to know where those are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can fully make or break your ride. Because there's no stores in that area. There's nothing really around it. So they're kind of key to get. Like, Elmville's not too bad. You could get to Elmville from there.
And just to swap your bottles out. Like, if you ride up on one and you have 2 full bottles, just empty the warm water out and get some fresh water.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
It was great, yeah.
And I prefer doing that versus buying bottled. I just hate buying 100%. Bottled water. It's such a waste.
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice to be able to fill up in the spring. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, Steve, maybe we'll start with you. How did you find cycling?
I found cycling through an injury, a lingering injury that started in 2018, I think. It was a back injury, so it was either a bulging disc, a herniated disc. It was something to do. It was a disc issue, and there was nothing was going to relieve the pain that I was having back there. Especially running. So I come from a running background, the marathon, cross country. And so I got on the bike one day. I always had a road bike. I always kept a road bike around, and I was like a four or five time a year cyclist.
Yeah.
You know, nothing. Never ridden with like another person before BCC. And when I got on that bike, that forward lean on the bike just relieved all the pressure on my back.
Oh, nice.
And so this injury that I've been having forever, it went away as soon as I got on the bike. And then as soon as I start running, and it comes back, and you know, everything else I do, I go to work, it comes back. I sit down too long, it comes back. But on the bike, it's that forward lean. It's just so nice and comfortable.
Yeah.
And I was riding a ton at the beginning of last year. And then I got into BCC and then I linked up on the Thursday morning groups with with, you know,
Craig's.
Craig's. Yeah. It was a great group. And I mean, my very first BCC ride ever was with those guys. I mean, I'd never been in a pack before. I'd never done anything. So it was an eye opener for sure. But
how did you find out about that ride?
Actually, I showed up on the Wednesday night Learn to Ride ride. And then from there, I think maybe I was talking to Carol. I think Carol was the first person. And she might have mentioned it. So I said, I'm not doing anything tomorrow morning. I was on strike at the time. I don't know if you remember.
Right. Yeah.
And so I had nothing but time. And I just showed up the next day. It was really awkward, uncomfortable for me. And you know, I hung at the back. I let everybody rotate. And I just kind of watched. And then that was it. I was hooked. And
Jess, what were you?
So I started cycling, I want to say, 5 years ago, mainly primarily for speed skating training. So I was a long track speed skater. So we were kind of forced on the bike. I actually, truth be told, hated it at first, did not like biking. I came from a running background. So for me, I was like, why would you sit on a bike for 4 hours when you could go and run for an hour? And it's like kind of the same thing. Like you, in my mind, that was like the same benefit. So I didn't quite get it. And then I don't know where along the lines, but I eventually just fell in love with it and really enjoyed it. And we did training camps, pretty low key, pretty chill paces, mainly just for like base training in the summer. And then I'd say I didn't start seriously riding, honestly, like this past year, but last summer, at the beginning of the summer, I got back into it, and then honestly, since COVID, I hit the bike this summer and have fallen in love with it. So, yeah.
And so, this is fairly recent. You've got hooked up with these guys.
Yeah. So honestly, like as of the last month, basically, not even. I think you know I could count the rides that I've done with them on my like one hand.
Okay.
But no, it's been great. It's been so cool. I was feeling, I was riding with my dad and doing a lot of solo rides at the beginning of the summer and just felt like I needed that extra push. And I mean, that's the amazing thing about cycling, right? Is it can be such a social sport. And it was feeling like I missed that component. So it's crazy how Strava connects people. Like it's so sick though.
Yeah.
Like, not only have I connected like with like these guys, but also like people from high school that I like never talked to and have connected in like just such a sick way. So it's such a small world, right? But yeah, I know. So I first connected with Joe. I mean, I'd seen these guys' names all the time on Strava. Like you see them, you Strava stalk them, and you're like, wow, these dudes are fast.
Eric and I have talked about that before. Is it
yeah.
kind of cool if you can actually meet somebody?
Oh, 100%. Like, oh, 100%. I was so nervous, like especially the first time I went on. The first person I rode with from this kind of group was Joe. And I remember leaving the house that morning, and my heart rate was like, honestly, already at threshold. And I was like rolling out the driveway.
Just nerves.
For those who don't know, we're talking about Joe
Fortnum. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Follow him on Strava if you want to see
of
some
course.
Ridiculous numbers.
This is insane. But I had seen like Eric and a bunch of the guys around, and then sure enough, got an invite to the Saturday morning rides and the Tuesday morning rides, and yeah, have really connected and absolutely love it.
Nice. So road bike, is that your only bike?
That's my only bike, yes.
Steve, you brought a commuter today.
I rode a fixed gear here today.
Nice.
With
the nice big straps on the pedals.
Yeah, you need the straps. Like yeah. And I'm not messing around. No flip-flop hub, no brakes. It's just a straight fixed gear. So that's my...
Fixed gear, no coast?
No coast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
hardcore.
Yeah.
You're ready for the track, man.
Crazy, eh? Yeah. I'd be a mess on the track. So I had my fixed gear, obviously, my road bike. Last year, so when I showed up with the club last year, I was riding a steel-framed Ritchie Road Logic, which is like my baby. I love that. It was my dream road bike as being like a not a cyclist, like an Instagram cyclist. Like I thought all the coolest guys are riding steel frame, you know, modern steel frame
right.
road bikes. I got to get one. And then I got one. It was great. I loved it. But then you get in, you start getting in these packs. And so I thought, oh, I need something a little bit stiffer, something a little bit lighter, faster. So now I have this year I upgraded to a Cannondale Super 6, which is, that was my rail trail, my loop bike.
Nice.
And then I have a gravel bike as well, a single speed gravel bike. With 42s on it. I use that for riding with my daughter. We ride we'll do like single track. We'll spend like all summer in Copeland. So I'm just kind of pump around on that.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Got lots of bikes. Yeah. But I love it. And
I just rode through Copeland on
yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw that. That was a great ride.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that. That was
Logovers, awesome. Rock gardens, the whole bit. Using that bike.
I love, and I with the like the gravel bike, I love the feeling of the single track with the drop bars. Like your hands on the brakes, it just feels so much differently riding that than opposed to a mountain bike on the, you know, you just like you're kind of more confident. I don't think I'd race anything on it, and it's pretty, you know, it's still pretty gravel bikey, not like a mountain bike that, you know, the geometry and stuff, you know, you're a little bit too forward, but it's fun still.
Yeah.
Oh, the 7-year-old, it's fun too.
There's some people that'll go out to hardwood and they'll go ride, not all the trails, but they'll feel fairly comfortable on cross bikes riding most of the trails, yeah.
I could get into that.
Yeah. With the 42s, it's fun too because you can ride through. I mean, it's a mountain bike tire, right?
Yeah.
So you can ride through anything. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So
Eric said he's a maybe on the mountain bike. Jess, what about you?
I would be the same. I mean, I would love, here's the thing, I would love to do it. I think it's so sick. I think mountain making is so hardcore. I am very worried for my health and safety. As you can see, I probably am not saying, like, nobody's gonna wanna ride with me. They're gonna listen to this and be like, wow, this girl's some issue staying on a bike. But I've had a few pretty nasty crashes on the road. So I sometimes struggle to stay on my bike on a flat ground. I don't think that it would be a good fit to put me going downhill and with trees and rocks. I would love, I do want to get into it.
Yeah.
I just don't think,
I
don't have a death wish yet.
Zero pressure.
You know, and I'm kind of the same in that I think I said that before, right? I'd like to try. I'm interested. I'm curious. And for sure, there's a whole other technical component that I'm very interested in learning how to be a good technical rider. But for me, I love the road, and it's just enough hours in a day. Like, by the time I get all the road riding that I want to do in, I just don't have time. I don't make time but I can see in the future where I may get into that more.
But we talked about it too. There's another component, which is, if you don't live immediately adjacent to trails, there's possibly loading it up in your car, driving a half hour, and all that sort of business that comes with it. So it's not always super clean to do it. If your schedule is like, I got a half hour, you know, go blow your brains out on the road, because you can do that from your front door.
Right.
Versus...
That's the simplicity factor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, for me, I struggle with that every day where, you know, I have 45 minutes and it's like, you've got to gear up and make sure you got, you know, where's your light and put some air in your tires. I can just throw my running shoes on and go on and come back, right?
Yeah.
It's over. It's easy.
Beautiful.
So, lately, that's been my struggle, and running's been winning out.
Yeah.
Just because of the simplicity of it, so...
So we moved the podcast inside, hopefully a safe distance for everybody, and because I hate to say this, but the white season will be upon us at some point.
Yeah.
And we've talked to Eric before about training in the winter. Now, Eric has typically been snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, running,
walking
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But possibly running might not be as much in the cards this year.
Yeah,
we'll see.
It won't be really... It'll be to mix it up, but it won't be a significant part of the training for me. It's just, I can't do it anymore in my joints.
Yeah. So, Jess, sorry, I was Strava creeping just to sort of figure out what you've been doing. So, you're on Zwift.
I just got it, like, last week.
Uh-huh. And?
So...
What's the review?
I am undecided on it. I think it's great. Don't get me wrong. I think, okay. I think it's... It's definitely... I'm easing into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting used to it. It's definitely a bit of a shocker. I think I also don't ride with a power meter, so all the power numbers are new to me, so I'm trying to figure that out. I typically am 20 minutes on a trainer and I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I'm bored. So definitely the kind of racing component and seeing that and having the designated workouts, I think we'll do much better this winter. I think I am really gonna like it. Just right now, it's hard to be inside and ride and see outside and be like, oh, I could be riding outside. So I would opt for riding outside over indoors, but I think once the snow hits, I will definitely, I'll love it.
Steve, I see you're a double Zwifter.
Yeah, I'm one of the few Zwift runners. I have a Zwift treadmill at home, and I'm all set up. Yeah, so for me, I would always run outside. The only thing that keeps me from running outside is the ice, not the cold or the wind or the, you know, just the way, all the winter elements. It's the ice that keeps me from running outside. Yeah. That'll put me on the treadmill, and then I'll, you know, I'll fire Zwift up. But I mean, I'm not big into, I haven't been into the group runs. I haven't done any 5K, like I haven't done any races or anything yet, but the Zwift treadmill is so much fun. And you get to look at all the bikes, right? It's fun to watch everybody, you know, all the bikes just zipping by you all day. It's pretty good. But it's the one thing that holds your attention on a treadmill. I mean, you could have music going, be watching a show, reading anything, and, you know, all together at the same time, but that Zwift will hold your attention when nothing else will hold your attention, so.
Do you bike Zwift as well?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
Maybe this year, we'll see. Maybe my plan is to, when I pack the bike up, to start, you know, do a, you know, get another marathon build in.
Yeah.
For, even though I, you know, chances are I won't be running a marathon in the spring, but I'm planning on running a marathon build, which will start, you know, around mid-December. So,
because I, you know, have run.
Yeah.
I've done a half marathon. That's as much as I ever got.
Yeah.
So what's that take you? So mid-December to when? And
April. So a marathon build will be, it's about 18 weeks or so. It'll end up, for me, it'll go mid-December until sometime in April. And essentially with a marathon build is like you have a base, and then you start with, you know, you start with early workouts and you go all the way up to your taper until race day. So I'll do that. And then instead of race day, maybe I'll run something virtually, which I can't see myself doing. A lot of people have been doing the virtual races lately. For me, it's just like I can't imagine getting out there and, you know, trying to run my fastest time ever
on your own,
on my own, by myself. Like, lots of guys have done it, but I don't think it's my thing, so I'll just shut it down. You know, I'll do a taper, and instead of racing, it'll just be an off day, and that'll kind of be it. And I'll take a couple weeks off, but it'll be like
leading into cycling,
and then it'll lead into cycling, or maybe races are coming back. I can start focusing on a summer season or something. Who knows what's gonna happen? But until racing comes back, until my group kind of gets back into the full swing, I'm just, you know, try to bike as long as I can.
Yeah. So lay it on me and kill my spirits. What's a full marathon take you to do? Probably the time it would take me to do a half.
my most recent marathon was 2 hours 40 minutes.
240,
yeah.
That's insanity.
So,
is that your PB?
It's my PB,
okay.
Too, yeah.
Wow.
So
congratulations, man.
Oh, thanks.
That's
incredible. Yeah, it was an 11-minute PB after, like, being,
wow.
I was stuck in that same realm for 6 years, and then all of a sudden, one race had an 11-minute PB.
That's significant.
Yeah, it was crazy. I changed a few things up in my training, and I brought yoga into my routine. Everything changed.
Really?
Yeah. The way that I run, my stride, my energy levels, just like the amount of sleep I was getting, like, everything changed once I brought yoga in, and then I just shaved 11 minutes off like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's neat.
So you're not the only guy I know who runs on Zwift. Denton Bonney. He's a local guy here.
Oh, no way.
He will get up, I think some of his runs, I think I've seen it like 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
He'll run, and then he'll get on his bike, and then he'll go to work.
Oh.
And he still has wife and kids. You know, I don't know how you manage all that, but anyways.
It's crazy.
Yeah. That's an insane pace. So yoga, Adam Hill, who we've had on the show here, he is a big, big believer in yoga changing, being the game changer for...
I mean, I can't.
What you do.
And I've recommended it. I coached the cross-country team at Georgian as well, and I've recommended it to a few runners that have, you know, had a regular practice going since, and everything just changed for them.
How did you get onto it? Did someone recommend it to you?
Nobody recommended it to me, but I was always dealing with the same injuries over and over again, and I would go into the physio after physio, and then nothing was happening, so I would switch physios and get a little bit of relief. Nothing was happening. I'd go to another physio. And what I didn't realize was, and not that I was thought that it was the physio's, like, fall, you know, this physio can't get it, but what was happening was I wasn't following up with what the physio was telling. It's all good to go to a physio. Then the physio will give you, you know, you got
to
do this, 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 and this at home.
Do those.
Yeah.
Forget about it. I can't do any of that when I go. I got this beautiful gym, and I got all this stretching equipment. I got all the torture tools you could think of. And I'll walk by it 100 times a night to go sit on the couch or do whatever, right? But you think I'll ever walk in there and do anything? No, forget it. So I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And then I was, you know, it was just racking my brain one day trying to figure out, you know, what can I do to sort this mess out. And I got one of those free trials. It was like, you know, $20 for a month or something. And
at a studio,
yeah.
And how long ago was this?
This was 2017, going into 2018. So it was about October 2017. And then I was about 9 months of just like steady practice. Sometimes I was going, you know, 5 times a week. And everything. I would run there, yoga, run home. I'd do anything I could to get that yoga in. And even if I missed a run, it was still better to miss a run and go to yoga than it was to skip yoga and get that extra easy run in, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how I knew. It was just loosened me right up and everything changed. But since my back injury, I haven't been able to go back because everything will aggravate my back right now.
Especially
everything
yoga.
Everything. So for the last 2 years, I guess, I've been out of, been off of yoga, been off physio, been off of everything. Just like I said, because one day, one treatment will flare me up and I'll be out for a week. So it's been better just kind of rolling with, you know.
But how's your running going? Like this year, I know you were.
So, my running is in a weird spot right now. I can hold a fast pace on a run, but it's kind of just like the same on the bike where I'll just hold this pace. I can run the same pace forever, but workouts haven't been going very well for me. I don't have that fire, that, you know, that pop speed right now. And I just can't figure that out. And I think it's because of the nerve. And because, so the back feels good, but like my left leg is numb a lot. And my foot's always numb and pulsating.
So
and
an impinging.
Yeah, well. Still. And I can't seem to figure that out. So once I do, you know, look out. But yeah. Until then, I'm just trying to. So I've been, like I said, I've been running a lot. I can maintain a high volume. Like I can run 100 kilometer weeks, no problem, at the same pace, which is still a good pace, but it's not a race pace by any stretch.
Right.
It's just a pace. So we'll see.
Jess, what were you? Are you a runner?
Yes. So I ran high school in cross country and track, mainly as just kind of forms of cross training for skating. That our coach was big on pushing us to do a few different sports. Kind of in the off seasons, just for developing, not like doing specialization too early.
So Jess, sorry to interrupt. In high school, you were doing skating already?
So high school, I was doing skating. So I started skating when I was, I want to say 9 years old. So I did 10 plus years. I got more competitive as high school went on. So grade 9, grade 10, grade 11, grade 12, I was skating. But in grade 11, I started doing long track. And so pretty much from grade 10 on, every single weekend, I was away at a competition. So either a short track competition, a long track competition, a lot of traveling, because in Ontario, we didn't have a long track rink, or the one that we did was in Ottawa. And it was backyard ice, so very unpredictable. So I went to Calgary quite a bit, Quebec, Lake Placid. Was kind of all around. So yeah, but to go back to the running, I've always wanted to do a half marathon. I started training for one last year and then found out that my leg was broken, so had to kind of scale back. That's when I got more into cycling. That's a whole nother story. I had a broken leg for a year. I broke it rock climbing, didn't find out about it until a year later. I have a decently high pain tolerance.
See, I'm not a runner, but I know that having a broken leg is probably critical to training.
So it's a broken, it had completely broken my right fibia, like, and had shifted over 50%. So thankfully it's healed up now and it's okay. But when I would run, I would flare it up and I sometimes couldn't walk after a run.
All right. And so, have you gone into full skating retirement, or are we going to see you on skates this winter? Like,
no.
What are we talking about?
No, I am, here's the thing, is I don't like saying retired, because that implies that I had a career out of it. And did I ever receive a paycheck from skating? Absolutely not. It's a purely amateur sport here in Canada. But I also don't like saying quit, because that's a very, like, defeatist mentality, right?
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with that word.
Yep.
So I like saying move on. I moved on from skating. I might maybe crack the skates out. I don't think I will. It's not really a sport that you're like, hey, let's go for a casual speed skate. Yeah, it's not, doesn't have that recreation component to it really, unless you're going to, you know, just a rink and going around.
Allendale Blue has a couple races the other time.
Yeah, so Allendale is where I used to train short track. So I used to skate short track there, started in short track. Yeah, you pull the pads out and you're good to go. So there's kind of two, there's short track speed skating and long track speed skating. Long track is you're on a 400 meter oval, so you need a big facility for that. And that's the racing for people that aren't familiar with skating. There's only two people on a line. It's a lot more boring than short track. So people are probably more familiar with short track speed skating when they think about speed skating, but you switch every single lap on the long track. So long track is more time focused. So you're not so concerned about winning the race. You're concerned about skating fast and skating your best time. Whereas with short track, it's more of a racing component to it. So there's like 4 to 6 people on the line. It's a shorter track. It's a little bit more like faster paced. A lot more racing tactics are used in short track too. And it's about winning your heat and winning the race. So
and that's carnage.
Yeah.
Something goes sideways.
Sideways. No, like it's like I was kind of telling them on the ride, like I've learned to fall. And I learned to take a crash, and I know how to take a hit because, it's inevitable with skating for sure.
I think cyclocross is in
my UK. Well, you'd kill it on BC, quite honestly, but that would be a fun one. It would be a nice mix for you.
Yeah, I would definitely be interested to try it for sure.
I know some people we can send
there.
It seems really similar to track cycling, doesn't it?
It does.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you tried that?
No. So when I stopped skating, I was asked, hey, would you like to try track cycling? And at that point, I needed to step away from competitive sport. I needed a break. And also the idea of going around in a circle did not appeal to me. That was part of the reason why I stepped away from skating. And I was like, no, I think I'm good for now.
When was that, Jess? How long ago?
2 years ago now. Yeah.
So it's been 2 years since you've been on skates?
I did a winter triathlon the winter that I stopped skating.
Wait, fill us in. What's a winter triathlon?
So it's a speed skate, run, and a Nordic ski.
Okay,
so
cool.
Yeah.
That is neat.
Those are like three of my favorite sports.
Where did you do that?
Cycling. I did that up in Ottawa.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm aware of
that. It's a big deal. That triathlon's a big deal in Ottawa. I think
it
might go the same weekend as the Gatineau Loppet, which is right across the river. Yeah.
Which I think has changed for this year. If you're listening and you're looking at doing the ski marathon, I think I think an email's gone out from the race organizer that it's not what it was. It's very much more COVID acceptable. So it won't be quite the same.
They must have just snuck it in last year, right?
I think they did,
They did, actually. That's right, because I remember Paul Robinson did it, and Eric Jackson was up there. I think Jen was up there, too, wasn't she?
She might have been,
I think so, because I remember, or maybe it was the year before, I remember her just kicking ass, of course. And Eric Jackson, too. Eric did very well.
Eric is a
strong
beast of a man, Yeah. That family's got good genes. I just ran into the Jacksons after Adam and I did our ride. We were in the parking lot and they popped by and I guess Ryan, the son, is in Colorado. I forget which university, unfortunately. He's cross-country skiing on a, I think, full scholarship. And Jen's just back today from her race. Yeah. So she's
and lots of good showings
so
at Worlds.
Yeah, so World Championship, she finished on the lead lap, I think 28th.
That's so
yeah.
Not bad for 3 years into a sport.
Crazy.
And Mom and Dad were out for a ride, so it's quite the active family.
Is that where you met them, out on a ride?
Yeah, we were just finishing our ride, and they were just finishing theirs as well. I think Mom is more a marathon runner, I want to say. Not 100%.
I don't know. I've seen her on skis. I bumped into them skiing in Copeland and Horseshoe area.
Yeah.
And I bumped into them again just this summer out on the road in Midhurst area.
Yeah.
So we ended up riding together and just catching up. It was kind of nice.
Yeah. They're like Cathedral Pines. And I know that Mom has like jogged down to Hardwood Hills to see her hubby.
Doesn't
and,
surprise me.
Jen. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Well, I, you know, not that I'm ever going to be on your speed, but I bought some running shoes today, so I do plan on throwing in some running in my
good for you.
Winter
mix it up.
Yeah. Winter mix up. Yeah.
I'm going to throw a shameless plug out there.
Yeah,
now,
please
but,
do.
Last, I love telling everybody that'll listen that on once the snow flies, we'll start running, doing some runs, some BCC guys. We'll meet down at the spear catcher on Saturday mornings, and it's like it's an all pace, easy, casual. We just mainly just chat. You know,
I'll join you on those.
Eric was out last year. I mean, we got about. Usually it's that sweet spot when you can't ride your bike anymore, but before the skiing starts going.
Right.
And we had maybe 10 good runs in last year, and Saturday mornings, really casual, and it's a fun time.
Yeah.
Just because I'm a numbers guy, what kind of pace are you talking?
Oh, like 5:20s, 5:30s maybe?
I can't even talk.
Come on.
Underneath. I can't even talk. I'm tasting blood. There's no talk. That's a full-on sprint for me.
It's casual paces. It's all paces are welcome, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
It's a blast. We had a great time last year, so I want to keep the ball rolling this year.
That's awesome. I think it's pretty great that we got a good community in our cycling community of, like, Nigel's been organizing, even though we don't have sanctioned club rides,
yeah,
he's been organizing some routes for people to do, and and if you're stepping up to organize some runs and stuff, I think that's great.
Yeah, and some snowshoes. That's something we did a couple of years ago. We didn't do it last year. But we had a group of same thing, like, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys, people, whoever was out. Carol, I think, joined with Tony a few times. Anyway, it'd be nice to do that again.
Yeah.
Just do snowshoes, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people will do that. Yeah. And just because it's on my mind, and I forgot to say to both of you, when you're using Zwift, there's a couple other apps you need to get that'll really enhance your experience.
Wanderer?
No.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I'll shamelessly plug
Wanderer.
Yeah. That's a jam.
I should get shares of that.
You should. I agree.
So there's a Zwift companion.
Okay.
If you don't
I got
have that.
One,
okay.
Yep.
Do you have Discord?
Discord, that's what
yeah.
it is. Chat. It's a chat.
So
I think I have it.
Yeah, so basically, let's say Steve sets up a ride. So you can set it up where it's a no-drop ride, essentially. So whatever pace Steve is going, that's the pace your avatar is going. You could be blowing your brains out at 1,000 watts, and you'll still stay with Steve because you're still pedaling. Steve
cool.
could be pushing 100 watts,
yeah.
but you still stay together. And then if you set up a Discord channel, then you guys actually are talking to each other.
Yeah.
And it's very seamless. Like, I thought there would be lag time talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very seamless. It's
cool.
It's pretty good. Yeah. And I think that kind of enhances the experience of
huge.
Not just being there suffering on
especially
your own.
In the dead of winter. Like,
right?
This is what attracts me. I told you, right? Never say never. Like, I could see at some point getting into that, partly for just for that. Like, in the middle of winter, you're kind of holed up in your house, and especially this year, it's going to be like that. To have a social activity like that, is awesome.
Yeah.
Really, it's quite neat.
Yeah. So, and I don't know all the... I've only joined in on the Discords and joined in on group rides. I've never set them up myself, but get hooked up with some people who can... if you know some people who are techie enough with all that stuff, then you'll be away to the races. Mm-hmm. And maybe even BCC's going to set up some rides.
Yeah,
that'd be amazing.
That's
surprising.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Because then you don't need to worry about the limitations of how many people it is. It could be 100 people.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Virtually.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the racing. If you... There's a clip of... I know you and I, Jess, had spoke about, you know, you thought maybe you'd like to try road racing, whatever.
Yeah.
I follow Andrew Ferentz. He's a retired NHLer, and he's really into... Like, that guy is into cycling.
Really?
And Wanderer Miles... That guy's getting like 1,200 Wanderer kilometers a month. He's off the charts. He's obsessed. Anyway,
is he traveling for his mile? Like, how do you
Where
do
he?
That?
He's based out of Edmonton, and he has had his kids in, I think they were over in Vancouver for a bit. But yeah, there's a lot of Alberta that he's been just chewing up like crazy.
Man.
Anyways, he posted a clip of himself in a Zwift race. And I think he went back, because his wattage numbers were insane. But he's talking himself through of what his strategy was in a Zwift race. And it was really quite cool to see. He's like, oh, I'm just going to drop the hammer. Let's see what happens. And like, he just takes off, and it's, you know, you're kind of watching the cattle follow along and see if they can keep up with him. It's kind of cool to watch that.
For me, it was during when they were doing the Tour de France Zwift, like right before the actual Tour de France, when I watched the time trial and they had Mike Woods. I mean, obviously, I'm a huge Mike Woods fan, Canadian runner, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Tex had set his bike up for the time trial in a basically a running position. So he was out of the saddle and he was essentially just running. He ran that entire time trial. He smoked everybody. But it was just, he never sat in the seat one time. He was just running. And they
had a time trial.
And a time trial, yeah. But it was on Zwift, right? So the way they set his bike up and they had him all dialed in. So they knew that once he was out of the saddle, no one could touch him.
Yeah.
He was gone. So I saw that.
They have a lot of cool things. Someone sent me a link before I even knew really what Zwift was. There was a Canadian Nationals last year. And there's Lionel Sanders. He's a pro triathlete. He was in the race. And then Trevor O'Donnell was in the race. He's a local guy. Andrew Watson was in the race. And it was cool and kind of insane to watch. You're watching just data. It was like kind of watching the Matrix. You're watching heart rate, power, and speed. And it was cool seeing just the shift, and like guys just kept sprinting and kept sprinting. Like they were holding over 500 watts and they're just nailing each other on this thing. And I was watching it and I think, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can't even comprehend these numbers, and they're just holding it and holding
it. So it was a suffer fest. They were just trying to hurt each other. And
it was just a war of attrition. Yeah.
Oh man.
And I forget how long. You'd have to ask Trevor or Andy.
Jess would love that.
I know. I'm like, oh man.
Well, we can put you in touch with these people too. I'm sure Trevor and Andrew would love to set you up with just suffer along.
I have a feeling you're gonna love Zwift.
I think I will love it. I think I will. I just, it's right now, it's just because you can ride outside, and I'm like, what am I doing inside? What am I doing? And I feel a little bit like I've gotten soft already from like the few Zwift rides that I've done.
Knowing how fast you dropped me the other day, I would say that's not really.
I'll vouch for
not
that.
Really a thing.
How well you guys pulled me in that last third of the ride, I'll vouch that you're still in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Yeah, getting back to the rail trail. So, how do you feel now, knowing your time? You guys were 5 and change?
Well, I don't know, actually.
Yeah, 5 and change.
I don't even think I looked at it. I was so happy just to
get to finish it. Right?
It was funny though, we were talking about how we all felt miserable, but it didn't feel miserable. Like all of our spirits were so high the entire time. It was such a fun ride, even though it was absolute chaos and we were hurting. It was a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And would any of you try it solo?
Yeah, I think I'd give it a go.
Yeah?
I think so. I was really sorry that I crashed and we couldn't continue the hard pace that we were going pretty hard.
Yeah.
We had a nice average.
I think up until that point we were, over 31.
Yeah.
I grabbed a KOM. You cleaned up the hardware. That was insane.
Oh, man.
But I even had like a ton of top 10s on the rail trail compared to Aurelia, which is unreal. I never thought I'd get anything. I thought those were done. So
yeah, that was well done.
I mean, we were hauling going up.
We did. We went pretty hard. So I'd like to do that again. Well, I'd like to do it with a group again with you guys. It'd be awesome. And not crash and actually be able to push the whole way.
Yeah.
Because I think we could do a respectable time.
Yeah.
We were, like Jess was saying, we were on track.
So I'll pitch you Andrew Watson's idea and I give full credit to him. I think it's pretty genius. You park at the Fry Guy in Ant Mills.
Oh, yeah.
You come back to Barrie first, get the miserable Barrie to Aurelia out of the way, and then it's a nice finish from Elmville back to Ant Mills.
And you
get back. You're there.
Which is a great idea.
Yeah, I didn't. I've never thought of like other alternate starting points either, right? Like maybe Barrie's not the best place to start because you have a bad finish either way, really.
I think
Adam Hills, he lives in Aurelia, so he would roll out from his door. So I think he's both directions. He's from Aurelia, so.
Yeah.
That might be worse, though.
I would want to finish with Barrie to Aurelia.
Yeah, I think I'd rather start in Barrie than start in Aurelia, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm definitely game to do it again. I wouldn't mind trying the clockwise just to see, you know, what's different. And a solo at some point, if I'm feeling really strong, you know, like June, sort of in that range, that maybe go for it. But it'd be PB totally, because looking at Adam and Joe, and I think they're the two that I remember anyway, like, I wouldn't come close to touching.
As solos, yeah.
Solos, you know. Well, and then Will and Mark.
Yeah.
You know, that was a double, but even
I think it was five juniors that went out to try and beat Adam Hill's time. And
recently?
Maybe about 2 months ago. I only heard legend of this.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, no. I think it's well hidden, but I think there was an epic blow-up, and... They didn't achieve their goal of beating
Adam
Mr. Hill.
The king. Well deserved, man. Unbelievable effort.
Yeah. Let's talk about, I almost forgot. Since our last chat, you've done your gate-to-gate.
Yeah.
At Algonquin. How was that?
That was a fun one, AC.
Man, that
so
was...
So you were there for that?
I was there, yeah. I was, yeah.
Jess?
Yeah.
You weren't there, okay.
I mean, yeah, I think that we might have met Jess the week before.
Literally the week.
Because
oh, okay.
if
yeah,
we were doing it, if we were going to be doing it this week coming up, say there would be, it would be a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you'd be in the group because we would have needed you if it was long.
It was a fun ride, and you know, kind of mission accomplished as far as what we were planning to do was to go up there and fill up the leaderboard with Barry Cycling Club,
uh-huh.
which we did. Right.
Call out to any other cycling club in Ontario. Gauntlet's been thrown down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And hopefully someone takes it, right? Like,
yeah.
It'd be awesome to see someone go for it, see a group go for it. It's
yeah.
It's a beautiful ride. Like, that's the other thing. It ended up at just a gorgeous day.
I think you guys probably hit it mint for the pictures I saw.
The colors
were phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still, my favorite photo is Eric Jackson wearing an orange kit and a red helmet. And I forget if his bike's black or whatever, but I took a picture of him just right on the side against a bunch of trees, and it was like camo. You couldn't see Eric.
I did see that photo. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, anyway, yeah, the colors were phenomenal. It was on fire, and it was a Friday. It was warm. I don't know. It was like low 20s, mid 20s, and a bit of a breeze, but not horrible. Like, it was a tough finish into the wind, but it was a great day. And traffic wise that was a big thing too.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible traffic wise you know,
the shoulder's unreal up there.
Whoa.
It's like too wide. I mean, we had no problem. We didn't stray over the shoulder one time. I mean,
no.
There was no rocks. It's clear. No cracks. I mean, it was
no
smooth.
Cracks or potholes. Like,
there was,
I'm thinking.
There was no intersections, no stop signs. I mean, it was a straight shot. It was unreal.
Our only stop was a couple of minutes, I think 2.5 minutes at the east gate. Just a quick, you know, take a pee and jam food in, and okay, boys, here we go, and back out.
So how many total did you have? People.
Oh,
seven.
Seven, yeah.
Seven guys, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good.
Any mechanicals?
Nope.
No, we went straight through. So our deal kind of at the beginning was we were going to stay together. It was 112 kilometers, I think. Or 112.
Okay.
Was it 112 or 120?
No, 112.
112.
Yeah.
So we were going to stay together until 100, at least 100 kilometers. And if anybody wanted to, you know, if we had anything at the end, go for it. And I think we stayed pretty good. I think around maybe early 90s, we started breaking up. It started, you know, stretching out. We were waiting a little bit longer. And then we'd catch up and we'd end up, you know, do the accordion. But by the time 100 hit, there was maybe four of us that were still like at the...
Feeling lucky?
Feeling pretty good,
yeah.
And then we just went, and it was good.
Yeah, Joe and Steve went off the front, and then it from there it broke up. You guys stuck together the whole way.
We stuck together, yeah. Joe and I had a funny conversation around, you know, 300 meters left, like, who wants this KOM? And I looked at him like, you can have it, man, because there's no way I'm going to beat you to the line. And we, you know, and he goes, okay, no problem. And then he was gone, and I limped in behind him, but it was fun.
That was the KOM, right?
For it was the KOM,
that
yeah.
That was for
yeah.
the whole loop, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was well deserved, I mean.
Yeah, he was prouder of his alternate KOM that it was called the Fat Bastard. He wanted that so bad.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. He goes, guys, I'm going to the Fat Bastard. They named it after me. I'm going for it. So he smoked it too. So.
Yeah, and he had spotted it before.
Okay.
And well before, and so he knew where it was. It was just coming back from the East Gate, just a few kilometers out. And he said, okay, I'm going, guys. and he hammered it. So he was pretty proud of that.
Yeah,
one,
yeah.
It's funny when you meet Joe and you get to know him and you've talked to him a few times and you think, oh, such an unassuming guy. Like, you know, he's really strong on the bike, whatever. But he goes home and he snoops around on Strava.
Oh, he's doing his homework. Yeah, he's doing his homework.
He loves it. Right? He's definitely a student of it.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And he looks carefully at his rides and he sees, you know, like he's training seriously, right?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, he checks out the terrain, the segments, what previous riders have done. He knows exactly where.
Well, even when we chatted on the podcast, he went back to his rides a year before just to kind of remind himself of some of the things that he'd done already.
That guy
is a student of...
I wish I had that problem. I look at my KOM page and I'm like, oh no, <It's> so sad.
Jess, have you got in it? Since you're new to cycling and new to this sort of thing, Are you Strava?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Addicted, yes. Like, when I am not, when I am bored at home, I am literally, like, making routes or Strava stalking or, like, I think it's the app on my phone that I use the most, 100% is Strava.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
I gotta say, if that's the worst social media one you're using, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I was just gonna counter QOMs.
It stops at 100. It just says 100. But
Yeah. Awesome. I think they're maxed out for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of hardware on that page.
Yeah. No, it's funny. Honestly, like there hasn't been too many segments that I've actually targeted.
Okay.
The ones that I have, so the ones that I got this summer that I really wanted was stop sign to stop sign on Ridge.
Okay, 2 to 7?
7 to 2.
Okay, yeah,
so
yeah.
Coming back. So that was one of the ones that I've wanted for a while. And I remember, you know, a few years ago seeing it, and of course Jen Jackson had it, and being like, wow, like, look at that average. There's no way I could do that. And then all of a sudden you find yourself there and you're like, oh, whoa, like, I can do this. Which is, I think, one of the things I love about cycling is, like, you can really see that progression and that improvement, especially with Strava. So that was one of the ones that I copped this summer that I was pretty stoked on.
So let's just fact check you here. So your very first your very first QOM was June 28th of 2016.
Okay, and where was that?
It was Glen Lake to Lick Lake Road,
Calgary.
Calgary.
It's gotta be out west. Yeah. So you've been. You got 8 pages of them.
Yeah.
Whatever that equates
times
to.
20, 100,
160.
Yeah. Can't do my math.
Okay. So sprint. Oh wait. So which one did you want?
Stop sign to stop sign.
I gotta scroll through to find this here. Do you know when you got it? What month you got
it? I got it, July. I want to say August.
Oh, you've been rocking up. Oh, this is. It'll take too long.
Yeah, crazy, right?
It's like every ride you go out, right? Basically, rock them up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm
like, I don't want to. I don't want to come across. But yeah,
no, it's true. But if you go with a group too,
you're
riding it.
I mean,
basically
when
an eight.
Exactly,
yeah.
When I'm like with you guys, it's like almost inevitable to get a few.
You should go for caves sometimes. Who's got caves or anything?
Caves?
Yeah,
Jen
has it.
Yeah.
She's smashed.
Is that a
beast?
Oh, it's a beast.
Sorry, she has a cave. I was thinking M Sims, but she did the. She did the Everest and then caves, right?
Ava Holmgren did the...
Ava Holmgren.
The Everesting, and then Paulina Allen has done... she did Grey Road 19. She did an Everesting on that. And just... So I did the one on Adam D's in my ride. We went up the one that Andrew Watson was looking at.
What is that, 8?
No, he wants...
The steepest hill in the
world? No, he's talked about doing this one called Valley Crest.
Oh, that's right.
The dead end one?
In Horseshoe. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
That's a short line.
Oh,
like, it was a million repeats.
156 repeats on it. Forget it.
I would lose count after probably, like, 12. And
I'd be like,
Where am I at? I think that's 100? Yeah. Okay, cool.
I don't know.
So, any interest, Steve?
Everest?
Everest?
I would like to.
You guys
for sure. I would love to. I think I need to work on my climbing pacing for sure before I hit it, but I would
I think power meter would be key.
Yeah.
If there's equipment you're looking at buying,
I get told pretty much every day that I need to buy a power meter, so it will come eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve?
I mean, I look at these guys doing it, and when they do it, and there's a few other things too, like was it Lancia went like 24 hours on Zwift? And,
you did a double Everest.
So I see these guys doing. I'm like, okay, I should plan for one of these. And then I get on my bike and I climb one hill. I'm like, no, what am I thinking? This is stupid. I got nothing. I got nothing out here.
Forget.
Yeah. When those guys did the trail twice, I'm like, I think twice is pretty good. And then after, like, you know, I'm halfway down the first time, I'm like, no, this is nuts. So
yeah.
I don't know. I can't see myself devoting that much time in one day to. Maybe I'm not hardcore enough yet.
I think I could. However, like devote the time,
yeah,
but not on repeats. Like I'm just not. That's the same reason I'm not standing on a trainer right now, too. Right? It just like climbing a mountain. 100%.
Yeah, I think I would rather do a longer climb less times than a shorter climb
more
times for sure.
And I think we talked to Adam Hill about that when he did it on gravel road that was kind of a step road, so climb. Well, it ended up being he did like 275 kilometers to get his Everest in. That's but huge. He kept adding, he added basically 75 kilometers.
Right,
of
because
flat.
Those flats
didn't
count.
Oh, because of the step, yeah.
Yeah, so you kind of gotta, you know, it's just one more thing to think about of like, how am I gonna do this? Like, there's a lot. Big kudos to people who do it.
It's crazy, yeah.
Did he get it official? Like, did you end up on the Everest website?
I think so. I think it's it's called the Hells 500, I think, is the people who keep track of
that. Rings a bell, yeah.
But you have to, I think, to be on their registry, you have to, if it's in real world, you have to notify them ahead of time, I think, and it has to be a verified Strava segment. So, like, they need to, because one of the guys got his bounced because...
Oh, really?
One of the record holders, yeah, his record got bounced because...
Well, Lachlan, are you talking about Lachlan Morton?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because he went back and did it like
a week later.
Yeah,
that was nuts.
Yeah, it was something like the Strava that he had originally looked at. The data wasn't the same as the Strava, so he just missed it. So it was a miscalculation. Went back like a week later, did it. Crushed it.
There was another person that did it, and they didn't understand because there's rules with this Hell's 500. I think that's the name of it. Hope it is. And you need to ride up and down. And someone rode up to finish and got in a car and went home.
Oh,
you need to
take it down.
I think you need to come back down. So quirky stuff like that sometimes happens. And
see, I'd be more inclined to go like to a mountain. Like the only mountain I've climbed is Mitchell, and that was like an awesome climb. And to do that, that was 1,200 or 1,300 meters. So whatever that is, right? Mm-hmm. You'd have to do 5 times or 6 times. Like
it's 88, 48 is the magic number you gotta get to.
Yeah, so I'd be way more inclined to just do that.
You'd rather do that 5 times?
Seriously?
Than...
Yeah. I think so.
I think mentally, I would fully putting a huge disclaimer on, I will never want to do this.
And that's fair, because I probably will never have to do it either.
But if I was about, if I gunned ahead, I had to do it, I would prefer to go your route of, I could 150 some odd times.
Not...
Forget it. No way. No way.
I just couldn't do it.
I feel like the mental strength of those guys is next level. It's crazy.
And you need a bit of a team. I think as Adam Hill would tell you, like, you know, you need someone to feed you a bottle and kind of, you know, I think there is that component of having people around that helps. I think the record now is under 7 hours.
It just got broken this past week.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
again.
Which is shocking that it's fallen.
Yeah.
Like, Phil Guyman.
Oh, yeah.
He was the big, oh, my God, he broke it. And that lasted all of 10 minutes. And
that was so...
And, like, they've shaved off since it became a thing with him because he's awesome for cycling. you want a guy who, like, raises awareness about cycling. Like, Everesting wasn't really huge until he did it. It's been, they've shaved an hour off of his time. Or maybe it's over an hour now.
I think.
Wow.
And, like, he knows he could do better than what he did.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
but people have stepped up. It's inspired
just
people.
Unreal.
It's all these crazy cyclists that are kept inside and that don't have anything else to do, right?
Yeah. Well,
especially once a pro started, like Contador, I think, did it too, didn't he?
He did it the week after Lachlan smashed Lachlan. Lachlan had it for, he had it, lost it, got it back, and then a week later lost it for good.
Yeah. And, but I think the, maybe two ago or three ago, it's a guy who's not even a pro.
Yeah.
He was a pro on a Conti team, and then he just races local races now, and he, I think he was in Ireland, was it? Or Scotland? And he's like, I think this hill would be a good one, and he went out and smashed it.
Wow, yeah.
Like, cool. It's cool that it went to pros and it came back to
Yeah,
I'm sure it'll go back to the pros again, but it's, you know.
I think that eventually racing's going to come back, and then we're all going to be like, remember that time that year that we were doing stupid things? Like,
when we're all back sitting on the couch watching pros drinking beer. It's like, you remember when we did all that shit? That was
What were we thinking?
Yeah, if you're going to talk to Lancia next year when racing's back and say, hey, you want to do a double Everest on lift again? No way.
He did some epic rides, you know?
That guy's done some beastly things this year.
Just this year, right?
Like, that Lake Simcoe loop was nuts.
They just didn't do
the
job.
Yeah, no,
just last
from
year.
Friday. It was on Friday, yeah.
I've kind of taken a Strava vacation. So.
Oh, you missed
a
doozy,
Johnny and Mark did Lake Simcoe loop. And,
Pace was like 36.9.
Yeah.
The better part of 200K?
Yeah, it was.
Depending on your route, I think it can be as high as 220, and I think as low as maybe, I think I've heard 180.
No, not 180.
Not 180?
No,
200.
I doubt it.
Okay.
No.
But
yeah, they were like 36 high on their pace.
Yeah.
Just nuts, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, so he's done the double Everesting inside. He did the double rail trail loop
with Will. And then he did with Adam that.
Oh, he did the GNR loop, which is meant to be a multi-day thing. They did it in 15 hours and change. It's 375K, I think, of single track and rail trail.
It just hurts.
And they got lost. They have the record, and they lost.
That's nuts.
Yeah. That's some crazy stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. I think him and Hill are battling it out for who can one-up each other for crazy stuff that they're doing this year.
Well, and he didn't do it this year, I don't think, anyway, but he rode up to Sudbury last year, the year before, just solo.
Yeah.
Rode
how
whatever
many
that was.
How many kilometers was that?
340 or 320.
Yeah,
it'd be
in that range, I think. Yeah.
Oh, my God. There, anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't 300, maybe 280. Anyway, whatever. It's a huge ride.
Yeah.
It's so cool though, like how creative everybody's getting, and especially like the fact that we have Strava as a platform.
Yeah,
it's like when they came out with like, you know, Strava wants you to pay. It's like, well, for me personally, like I had no right. I've been taking advantage of Strava for so long. I have no problem throwing a couple of bucks at them.
That was where I was at exactly.
Because like the people that I've met, the rides, the stuff that I've tried to accomplish, but just because of Strava, it's like. Insane that it was even free for so long was nuts, but
we'll fact check Mr. Hill in a second, but if you were to guess Mr. Lancia what his total kilometers are this year, what would you peg him at?
Oh, I'll say 16,000.
Yeah, I was gonna say 15.
I'll go higher, I'll go 19.
Price is Right rules, Eric wins. He's at 16,020.
Wow.
Anyone care to guess how many meters of climbing?
And
done?
He's married with young kids and a job. Like, what the heck?
Mark!
Mark!
You don't like Mark!
So
that's incredible.
So I got a couple guys, hopefully we can get lined up. Mark is one of them, and Eric Simpson, they want to sit down because they're both beasts on a bike, and you know, if you want to chime in too, Steve, basically just guys who are trying to keep a relationship at home together with kids. And like,
that's a good talk.
I would love to be on that.
Steve,
I mean,
if you're around, we'll set it up and because it's different for different people, and that's a real life thing.
It's a serious thing, and I've had lots of, you know, especially with my running group, a lot of younger guys, were a post-collegiate group, so a lot of guys come out of school and they're just settling down and they're ready to get back into track and field, so they end up in our group. And then I end up having this conversation time and time again. It's like, how are you going to balance? Like,
yeah.
You know, people, the guys are afraid to have kids and they're afraid to, you know, get too involved with their girlfriends or their, you know, in their relationships because they're worried about like that balance, right? It's,
yeah.
It's a real thing. So,
I've had Dee Maloney, who's John's other half. I won't say better because I'm sure they're both equal. John and Dee have discussed how much they both ride and how important that is to their
yeah.
marriage, and they've now got a podcast on, I think it's YouTube, John Maloney Show.
Oh, no way.
And I think they have very frank discussions about their marriage and other things, but
yeah.
You know, sort of what cycling means to them and how
yeah.
they sort of make sure that that's an important facet
yeah.
in their life.
See, for them, well, someone like them, where they're both into cycling, it's easier to go kind of to the extreme because you're supporting each other. You both do it. And you both get it. You can both get what's motivating and why they're out there doing it. I think in relationships where it's only one-sided, like for example, for me, right? I love cycling. I'd spend every spare minute I have on a bike,
mm-hmm.
but I've got a relationship and,
yeah.
and a household to look after, and you know, Chris is great. She gives me a lot of leeway and supports me in my obsession. But it's different in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
Than if you're both into it, right?
And what about your other half?
I was going to say, let me jump back in and say
yeah,
that
yeah.
none of this would be, you know, possible if, you know, Karen, my wife, wasn't so cool about it. I mean,
yeah.
she's a runner as well. And she'll, you know, she runs on the treadmill, constantly running on the treadmill. It's because she's given me the space to be on my bike or to be in Toronto on
okay.
a Sunday morning.
Gotcha.
And she, you know, she'd rather have me in Toronto running with my group, and then she'll, you know, she'll suck up a treadmill run for me, you know. So if it wasn't for that, you know, this wouldn't be happening right,
right.
now. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm so lucky. I mean, we've had to find that balance, and it's still a struggle, you know, after all these years, you still struggle with it, but there is a balance there, but if it wasn't for her, I mean, forget it. It'd be shot. So,
yeah.
So,
while Steve's just taking a moment for himself, what do you think Lancia's climbing is in meters of climb for the year?
Oh man.
Meters?
Yeah, I can't even guess. I don't look at it or think about it because my climbing's always wonky.
Okay.
My Garmin, so I don't even know.
What do you think would be good for a year?
Knowing
that he ever
what's his kilometers at?
He's at 16,000.
I'm gonna say 100,000 meters.
So 100 kilometers climbing? Wow.
Yeah. He's at 100 and just over 140,000 meters.
Oh, smokes.
This guy's a legend. I don't know him personally. I have not met him. I think I'm following him on Strava, but like, he's such a legend.
Lancia is
wow.
such a great guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I ended up saying on the weekend over and over again when I was out with Adam D was just how fortunate I feel about where we live and where we are lucky enough to ride. Like,
mm.
we were getting like absolute primo. Like, we went out all through Horseshoe up to Coldwater. Like, the leaves
nice
were phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And I said, I'm sure he thinks I'm a broken record, but I'm like, every corner we went around, I'm like, man, this is just so awesome. Like,
yeah.
we were so lucky to be here.
We are. I've said that I'm a broken record with that stuff too.
Yeah,
you've heard me, but we're so
yeah.
fortunate.
And
we
the
really,
people,
really are.
The location and the people
yeah.
we get to ride with are, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy for me.
It's really nice. You know, it speaks to what Jesslyn said earlier just about our ride on Friday, right? Like, we were hurting and broken and yet the spirits
yeah.
were up. Like, we had it was great.
No negative words. I mean, we were just slogging and you know, not that you keep harping back on like how hard it was coming back in, but we had this headwind that was just like, it was a knockdown headwind.
Yeah.
In the
hardest
section of gravel too.
Yeah, and it was,
yeah.
but it was fine. There wasn't a negative word, you know.
No.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. So.
Yeah.
Honestly, ever since like riding with these guys, I felt so, yeah, encouraged. Like every time I go for a ride, I feel like I'm learning something, and they've been so like welcoming and inviting, and I'm so, yeah, grateful to get to link up with these people.
That's awesome. Sorry, we'll just flip back to Adam Hill. What do you guys guess for, just for a guessing game, how many kilometers do you think he's got on for the year?
Oh, Adam Hill? Oh, it's got to be, I'm guessing more than Lancia, so I don't know, 18 or something? 20?
What do you think?
Yeah, I think 20. I think anyone that could get 20 would be nuts, but I would say 20. I don't even know the guy. I think he's nuts, so I'd say 20.
Okay, wait, what did Eric say?
18.
Yeah, we're tight.
I'll do 23.
23?
Holy smokes.
Well, he's at 19.4.
Whoa. Oh, he'll get it.
And based on Lancia being at 140,000 meters of climb for the year, what do you got for Adam?
I'll guess less, only because where he's riding all the time is flattered. Lancia is out in the hills, like, just in Grenfell area.
Okay.
So anyway, I would guess then... What did you say?
Lancia's at 140.
140. So Adam, I don't know, say 110.
I think that, well, Lancia's got the double Everest too. So I'll take 8,000 off of 140 and say that he's got 132.
That's what he got.
I'll say 125.
144.7.
No way.
He does have a lot of climbing. Wow.
Yeah.
That pesky mountain bike. Yeah. It's all uphill.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
impressive.
Yeah. I know those 8 hours add up. The heat of that double 8 hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of climbing, yeah.
Yeah, it was a trip.
Oh, yeah, I forgot too. Yeah.
Yeah, he throws in some sneaky rides. Yeah. As much as it's flatter up in, I would say, Aurelia, he still gets his.
Yeah.
He still gets in there. Yeah.
That's impressive. That just blows my mind. Like, I think I've said this to you before, Mark. By the time September comes around, like, I'm at, I don't know, 8 or 9. I think I may be close to 9,000 kilometers, which is probably one of my biggest years ever. And I'm kind of done riding. Like, I love bikes and I'm obsessed with cycling, but if I didn't ride tomorrow, that's all right, you know.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go walk the dog or go for a run and make my Achilles hurt or, you know, start skiing soon.
I can't find you on because your name's upside down.
No one can find me. It's probably under ban, search ban, or no,
or even if you go to one of us.
It doesn't matter. I think I'm at 9,000. But anyway, the point is that that, like, I'm talking orders of magnitude here, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're double, more than double what I've done. And I can't imagine spending that much time on my bike. And kudos to them. Like, they're unbelievable performers.
Yeah.
But for me, like, it's my short little attention span too. Like, I got to be doing some other stuff.
Yeah, like, so just for comparator's sake, like, I did a different kind of riding this year. I didn't do much road riding, so I've got 220 hours in this year. Adam's got 700 and change. But I did 154 rides. He did 264. So we're pretty close for number of rides. But he was just smashing.
Yeah.
Long, long stuff. Whereas I did a lot of skill stuff with mountain bikes. So, like, you know, you might spend 3 hours and only go 20K.
Right.
So, you know, that can really...
But
depending on the type
of
riding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it was Adam D posted out the other day. He said, figure out what your total cadence was this year. How many times did you turn over a pedal? And I don't know if
you
that would be just an insane number.
Speaking of cadence, I've looked at a couple of your rides and
I'm a gear grinder. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So
my 80, cadence,
85.
And even 85 is like 80s are in the high for me. Honestly, a lot of my rides are like 70 RPM.
Oh, really?
I don't know what it is. I just hate dropping to that small
range. When you climb in that big gear, it freaks me out, dude. I just see your next gear, I'm just like, oh my god, I can't believe it.
Because you're on the other end, like riding with you two guys for 6 hours on the weekend, right? You're spinning like a man.
Oh yeah, yeah, I just want to get it as easy as possible.
But I just hate the feeling of not having like resistance or power underneath me. I feel like I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We got to the end of, I'll call the Barry Rail Trail, where the hand is for the high five if you want it. And then
we're
left.
Kinsey.
Yeah. And we turned to go up that little hill. 85, you were doing like 35.
Oh, like, kicking up my
shit. She's on the big ring and it's just
what
are you doing?
It's probably not for my benefit. Like, I know it's something that I should work on. And I think Zwift will be good for that because you kind of have to keep a high cadence. Like, it's hard. That's one thing. That's maybe why I don't like the trainer, is because it's hard to keep low cadence on it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to kind of keep a high cadence on it.
Well, that'll be good for you, probably.
It'll be good for me, but I will resist dropping gears as long as I can. I will ride that big gear into the ground.
And that's a big gear, too. Like, I'm riding a compact crank, right? So, I mean, her big gear looks like a pizza compared to mine.
Yeah, yeah.
And she didn't drop out of it. I think the whole rail trail, I don't think you dropped out of it.
So getting back to the whole track thing, if you're ever to go to Milton.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm going to sit down and chat with Oren Bowser and Jamie Herbst. They go down... Historically, they go down. And the thing that I have come to learn is you need to learn to spin.
Yeah.
You want to win, you got to spin.
Yeah. Oren's giving me that.
And
info.
So I've gone to the track and I got the two licenses or whatever you need to get on the track. But it's that fixed gear.
Right.
And once you get motoring, there becomes a point where you're just motoring faster.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I don't know, because they don't let you put any sensors on the bike or anything. I bet you have to hold like 120, 130.
That's hard without bouncing right off your freaking seat.
Oh, it is. The highest I've ever gotten was down at Rad, and I got 208, I think. But you're just, like, it's every muscle in your body to try and hold your body still.
Yeah, I bet.
To do it. Like, it's, I mean, you can, like, please, I'm saying, like, I can max out at that, like, for a half a second, and I'm back down. But, like, 150 takes, like, if you're going to hold 150 for, like, 30 seconds, you got to really, really focus on it.
Yeah.
But I think to do track, I think that's definitely
a thing.
Because Oren, if you watch him, he's a high cadence
guy. He spins, and Jamie, too. Like, on Tuesday night at the rail trail, I was behind Jamie a few times. And just watching, like, wow, is he spinning like mad, man? He's really...
I think that's the track side.
Yeah, that's what I guess, because I know they go down to Milton together.
Yeah.
But definitely I noticed that when we were riding on Friday. But then, was it that ride? Or maybe it was the ride on Tuesday I noticed your cadence on your ride stats.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, like 80. Everybody else is, you know... around 90,
usually 90, like 40. My max is like what you guys are averaging at for cadence. I've heard that it's a thing among like women that they keep a lower cadence in general. I'm not sure if that's actually like factual. I'm just spinning it out.
I don't know. Jen's kind of the only one I would ride with sort of regularly. I think she's a bit lower.
Okay.
I know Nicole. She is ridiculously low. Like, she probably caps out at 75.
Really?
That's a high cadence.
She's my kind of girl then.
Yeah.
Very low.
You'd like to ride
after my own heart. Yeah.
She's a time trial specialist. Yeah. I would say triathlon time trial specialist.
You should just ride a one by to save weight. Throw them over and down to get rid of
them. You're not using your gears.
Get rid of them.
Yeah, have you gone up the steepest climb in Oral?
I would know if I did.
That's definitely a small rain.
Okay.
I put a challenge out to anyone. Anyone.
No, don't do it.
Don't do it.
If you can ride up that hill
in
the big ring, I don't know what I'll give you, but
I'll
give
you something. I'll buy you a pizza. Big ring's about like a pizza.
I will buy you a pie. There's a call out. I will give a pie pizza to anyone who can prove to me with cadence that they did it in their big ring and climbed up that hill.
Can you imagine your cadence on that hill?
It'd be like three.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, it would be insane. It would be insane.
If you get a good run in on it, does wind count?
I don't even think of running.
There's no running because there's a flat part. Like, there's a rail track.
Good north wind.
No, there's no way.
I'm with you because I can't do it. Like, I don't have that massive power, you know, for sprints and that kind of stuff. And I drop down so quick. I'm the opposite of you, man. I'll drop down, gear down so fast and try spin more.
Anyway. It's interesting. Like, different people ride different ways. And there's nothing wrong with any of it. Cause, no, like,
it's all different. That's all.
Even at the end of our ride, Adam, D, and I'm Dom. And there was a segment. So I
went for it,
right? Yeah. You're 3 hours in. You know, you've had a nice chill ride. And then you decide to crank it up in the last 500 meters.
That's the best time to go. You got your warm-up in. You're good to
rip. Yeah. Anyways, Adam watched me. And he's like, I don't get how you stand up and just keep standing up. And I'm like, man, like, I don't know, it feels natural to me. Like, I'll just keep dodging through the gears and I'll just keep standing up and hammering away. And he's like, no, I've got like 2 pedal strokes and then I'm sitting back down. I'm like, it's cool, like, we could still ride together. And you know, that's not his style, and that's how I would want to do it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like you said, right? Everybody's different, and it's neither right nor wrong, it's just different.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, as long as you're being efficient, then you're good.
That's okay.
I don't know, you could be a little more efficient climbing.
This is just me justifying located.
Hey, I was wondering, can you, kind of totally off topic, but can do Zwift on rollers?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
100%.
Because if I was going to do it, I think I'd go rollers. I've never ridden rollers.
Welcome to Borderline.
You've got some?
I've got some.
Because I'd have to try it first. Like, I'll probably kill myself. I have to wait until I heal up.
Rollers are the greatest.
Yeah, I think that's the way I would go.
I could tell. Like,
what would be the benefit between rollers and the smart trainer? Like, why would you choose rollers over?
Oh, the reason I'm saying that is just because it's more, like, actually safe. Okay. Because you're not fixed.
Right.
Like, vertically.
No.
Right.
And that appeals to me a bit more. Yeah. Like, I could see where maybe I'd get into that a bit more if I had to do
I will say, so I've put a couple videos up of myself learning how to use rollers.
Just for everyone else's.
Yeah, for everyone else's humor and my own discredit. And, yeah, so there is definitely a learning curve, and I feel comfortable with, like, even grabbing a bottle now. I kind of bought them right at the end of the season, so I only use them for a very small amount, and then I parked them because I went back outside, because why would you be inside when you can be outside?
Right.
Right,
So I never got to a point where I felt comfortable grabbing a bottle and having a drink.
Oh, no?
No.
And is that what you use when you're doing Zwift?
Or
do you have a fixed trainer as well?
I have
or whatever you call it.
I got a little trainer, and it's got the cadence sensor and stuff, so it hooks up with Zwift. But I have used the roller if I just wanted to get on and spin. I like it because you're more engaged. Like, it's not shut your brain off.
And that's what it's about for me.
Yeah.
Right
if you're not focused while you're on the rollers, you're in the rhubarb. See you later.
Right. Which means drywall and broken couches and TV screens.
Now, I will say there are some people like Yolanda Neff. I don't know if you've ever seen her on.
Who?
Yolanda Neff. She's a former mountain bike world champ.
Okay.
She juggles no hands on the bike while she's on the rollers. So there are those level of people
And it takes practice. You can get there.
Yeah.
So if I really wanted to, I could figure it out. Adam does rollers, does he not?
I saw
pictures of him up the cottage or something on his deck or whatever.
He'll go for it. He has tried some of the roller tricks, like passing a tube over, except the trick.
Wait,
there's two stories here. So one is the real trick. The real trick is to use a tire. And Adam tried to do it with a tube. Well, a tube's very flexible. So you basically take a tire. And you put it in front of the bike and you let it pass by the wheel. So it goes underneath the tire, the front roller. And then you bring it up and then you put it up over your head. And then you bring it down and then you fit it under the frame and then let it shoot out the back.
Why do you do this?
You got a lot of tire in your head.
That's not even the challenge. Obvious challenge.
Obviously it's a challenge. Obviously you saw it on the internet. And maybe, you know, I think it's just a test your own ability to balance on the bike on the rollers and what's your focus level. But
and he did it?
No. He ended up in a heap because he tried it with a tube and her tube's really bendy. Anyways, it flipped around underneath his tire and it got caught underneath the front tire, and then I think it stopped the front tire. And then he ended off
in the reverse.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, but I believe tubulars, I think, are Mr. Watson's done tubulars, and I think those are the way to go because they're kind of like, they're a little meatier than even a...
to do that trick.
To do a tube, to do that trick.
So Andrew has done that.
I believe, but I think he said on the show he was going to post a video of it and call out to Andrew Watson. We haven't seen that yet. So.
Like, why would you do that trick and not video it? Like, honestly.
I will say, he did amaze me. He was going in to do, I think, a Zwift race. He was on rollers, and he did a live Instagram or a Facebook feed.
Oh, really?
So he was hands-off on... I might have been one hand on the roller, but he was videoing the other hand, and like,
that's ballsy.
He was getting ready to... And he fully will say he will stand up on rollers and, like, give it.
Yeah, cool. So I'm not even trying that. Maybe if I could I borrow?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I'll try that this winter.
Yeah.
I think you would love them. I think that's right up your alley. Yeah.
Do you use rollers?
I've had them before for my fixed gear. I would ride my fixed gear on rollers.
Yeah.
Which is super fun.
Yeah.
But I don't have them. I didn't use them for years, so I just ended up selling them because I was using my fixed gear just to drive to the bar and back, right? So.
Yeah.
But, and the concentration level is unbelievable.
I'll bet.
So, like, you could sit there and I would have to monitor what I was watching on TV. I'd put, like, a hockey game, put basketball on, forget about it. You know, you're trying to fall out with your eye. You're into the wall, you're into the couch. It was crazy, yeah. So, but it's so much fun. And, like, yeah, it holds your attention and you can't lapse on it. So, I recommend them.
That was one of the things I was practicing last year while I was riding. Yeah. I found I was just in front of the TV and I was so locked this way. I could feel my neck was like, I'm locked on.
Yeah.
Like, this is like a missile. And then I got to start looking around the room. And then it's like doing the exercise of like, okay, if I look around the room, I'm on this side of the rollers, man, this side of the rollers, like, where am I in this? And it can be engaging for sure.
Yeah. So today I was watching GCN this afternoon, the race report, and they kept, you know, the commercials, and it's always a Zwift commercial, always a Zwift commercial, but it was actually a commercial for a set of rollers, and I meant to grab the name of the rollers, and I was wondering, like, do we have resistance on rollers yet? Like, is that where they're, because it looked like a super tech pair of set of rollers, and that's kind of, I feel like that's what that's what they're missing. A little bit of resistance would be nice.
I don't know 100% on this answer because I'm not a techie guy.
Yeah.
However, I will tell you that you can buy a fan that goes on your roller.
So and you drive the fan?
You drive the fan. So it's creating resistance. So the faster you're going, the more fan you get, which actually is kind of nice.
Yeah, for sure.
You
know,
you're kind of monitoring your own fan. It does go. Yeah.
So the rollers that you have, there's the resistance is just the inertia of the roller itself,
basically. Which is nothing. It's just your gears.
It's your gears, yeah.
Your gears,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will say to anyone who's listening and present company included, buy your gear now.
Mm.
There's stuff that's they're saying is sold out already.
Oh, really?
Smart trainers are selling out. If they're not sold out already, they are in very short supply. So
yeah, it's no surprise, right? Everybody sees what's coming up in the next month, right?
Yeah,
or whatever.
I'm gonna be one of these guys crying that I didn't get a smart trainer.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got one when I did.
Yeah.
Sure.
And segue to our friends over at Hardwood Hills. They're having a ski swap soon. I don't know when it is exactly, but...
So I should get a mountain. Are they selling out their mountain bikes?
No, this is skis.
Or did I miss
skis?
I thought they were selling their mountain bikes.
They might be, but I think those might already be sold.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I missed it. Andrew benched that last time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I heard it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they sold out really quickly. And I think even Crank and Sprocket, I'm pretty sure they sold their fleet pretty quickly.
But it'll be the same with all the winter training equipment. And Jeremy, we were talking on Tuesday at the on the ride, and he was saying, like, they're trying to plan out what their spring is, right? Like, if they could get enough stuff in the winter early enough, they could plan just, you know, at a nice pace, build bikes through the winter into the spring.
Yes.
But he said it doesn't work that way. Like, he's you know, going to get this tractor trailer load or whatever of bikes, and
yeah.
you have to build them all in like a couple of weeks or whatever. Which anyway, back to the point is the demand. Like
yeah.
the demand will be there, but it's for people like him in shops. How do you
yeah.
manage that?
Yeah.
Like that glut of demand, you know?
So talking to a couple shop guys, Jer and the guys from Crank and Sprocket up in Rio, it's sort of slowing a little bit, but it's not crazy anymore.
Yeah,
I will
yeah.
say that, like,
yeah.
which is good for them.
For
I think,
bikes, for actual
for
bikes.
Yeah, because yeah. I think we're fixing bikes. I think they've just been running and running and running, and
yeah.
they haven't really had much time to catch their breath. So kudos to those guys.
Yeah.
Every bike shop that's kind of been sticking band-aids on bikes for everybody and
yeah.
keeping us all going and keeping us happy. Or as happy as we can be. Yeah.
But yeah, training equipment through the winter. I know Joe just bought a training.
He's got the Stages bike now.
The Stages?
Stages,
yeah.
Yeah. Stages, yeah.
That's, I think, in Joe's situation, and I think there's a lot of other people like that, I think that is an excellent purchase.
Yeah.
Why do you say that? Like, I know nothing.
So. I don't know if, well, you didn't get to see because you were trying to blow your brains out beside him, but at RAD last year, Eric and Joe were doing a TT together, and there was a few of us who...
Oh, his frame was just about folding in half.
So he had a carbon frame, and he had a, I forget what bike he had. He had an Amanda, I think. It was a Trek Amanda. Anyways,
yeah.
Basically...
He's on a dome
now, right?
Yeah, dome now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said to Jared at the truck shop, I'm like, well, we were having a discussion, so I don't know, I can't remember who said it, but, you know, basically the discussion was, we need to get Trek head office in here to see how strong this bike is and see how much flex this guy's. Honestly, it was like a wet noodle.
Yeah.
That carbon bike, the length of the frame was just doing this when he was standing up and just putting power down. I mean, he's a big dude.
He's
yeah. super,
he's powerful.
Super powerful.
Yeah.
So I think for yeah. him... a dedicated bike that's probably out of steel, I'm guessing, or
yeah.
aluminum that's...
Yeah, I would say aluminum for
yeah.
sure, yeah.
Yeah, be wow. able to resist the kind of power that
yeah.
guy can put down.
Yeah.
That could be scary to see
yeah.
what kind of, like, without any flex, to
right.
see how much power actually...
It's probably a good investment. I mean,
oh,
you're just...
Yeah.
Because you're prolonging everything
yeah.
else you own, right?
Right. Yeah.
yeah.
Otherwise, like, I mean, I bet you'd burn through a trainer every year, 2 years... just because of that force, right?
He puts a lot. I don't.
Well, and he did a lot of miles.
Yeah.
Like, well, at least last winter, well, it was crazy what he put.
And
in.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
Going back to our mileage conversation earlier, I mean, those guys have so many Zwift miles. So I mean, really, your
yeah,
mileage is really great considering you didn't ride until what mid April, right? So
yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of.
I mean,
well, you stuck a few in, right?
But yeah, but when I really started ramping up,
you didn't have any 300 or 400 kilometer weeks in March, I don't
no,
think.
No,
so
no, no,
when those
no,
guys just hammered
no.
down, so
yeah,
that's where the difference is there.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
a good point. Makes a big difference.
Yeah. Let's get out of here on this. These are your Bell Lab questions, so we'll start going from this end. Jess, do you know what your 15-second power is?
I don't yet. I don't think so. I'm trying to think. I know that I did some on Zwift last week, like some bigger efforts, but I couldn't tell you off the top
how about,
of my head.
How about you make a promise to come back to the show?
Okay.
Give us an update partway through the winter.
Deal.
Steve?
I ride until as hard as I can until I can taste a little bit of blood, and then I stop riding.
That equals whatever that equals.
That's all I got.
Like,
yeah.
That's fantastic. That's a great
man
answer.
Man after my own heart.
Yeah. No sensors. Sorry, and maybe just an Eric question here. Do you ride with heart rate or?
I do ride with
heart rate.
Yeah. And cadence, yeah.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Do
you
mean
have cadence?
No. I have a Garmin. I just use it for like speed, like running speed, not average, just like and time.
Hold on a second. You don't even use a heart rate monitor.
No.
Really?
No.
I think you're in Adam Hill's category. I think Adam Hill's.
I have heart rate on my watch, but I think I was telling these guys, it always tells me the same. It's always like,
yeah,
I don't think it works that well.
Do you know like what speed you're going? Like, do you have like a...
Yeah. I know. That's all I know.
Okay.
That's all I know is how long I've been riding for, how far am I speed.
Is your speed on your Garmin, is it satellite or do you have a sensor on your...
I do have the sensors. They're built into my bike, but I just use the satellite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah.
How do you take your coffee?
Black.
Yeah. Yep. Raisins and cookies?
Absolutely. Oatmeal raisins are my favorite.
Yeah, yeah, I want one.
Oh, wow. This is quite the thing. Pineapple and pizza?
No.
Yeah, 100% yes.
Okay. This is kind of a skewed question because Jess has been having a peach cranberry Lake of Bays Rattler. Kudos to the Nine Lives Enduro that I was at for the beer, and kudos to Lake of Bays for that. That was awesome. So do you take fruit in your beer?
Only.
Only?
No.
No fruit. Okay. And you were a no, right?
No, I'm in the summer, I will. Yes.
Okay. All right, yeah. Fair enough. What's your favorite band?
Ooh.
Come on, this is rapid fire.
This
should be
rapid fire. This is like a heart wrenching.
It's a whole other podcast.
Can I say two?
Sure.
Because yes. They're like two different.
Yeah.
Okay, I.
Give me three if you want. I don't care.
I mean, I can literally go through my Spotify. One of them is Alt J. They're like an indie, super weird sounds, just like weird.
They're great.
Yeah,
great.
No, I love them.
Dead Air.
Come on.
Oh, wait, what am I thinking? ABBA. I'm a massive ABBA fan.
Oh,
I don't know why.
Okay.
I don't know why I even needed to hesitate on that. I actually went to the museum in Stockholm, and that was like one of the greatest things.
Oh, seriously?
Like,
there's an ABBA museum? Of course there is. What am I thinking?
Yeah, they're classic.
You're jumping generations here.
Steve,
what do you got? What do you got?
All-time Counting Crows.
Counting Crows?
Counting
okay.
Crows, yeah, I'll throw it down.
I'm kind of like Jen's, like, oh my god, I gotta pick
Jess,
one.
Maybe?
Or Jess.
You got Jess?
I'll take that as a compliment.
I'm sorry,
Jess.
It is a compliment, trust me.
Thank you.
Oh, man. It's hard to pick one, but I would say Pink Floyd.
Really?
And yeah, and favorite album.
Wait, just give me bands.
Well, it's sort of related to a band. It's a different band, so
okay.
Close to it would be like a Fleetwood Mac.
Ooh,
okay.
Yeah.
So, what was the first? And this is a generational thing for three of us. It's okay, but maybe not for you.
Okay.
What was the first piece of music you bought?
Mm.
You probably are. Too young
I
for
thought.
Buying CDs, so you probably bought
no,
it on iTunes.
No, I think I bought a CD, but it would be something super embarrassing. Like
no, it was the first cool one you bought.
The first cool one I bought.
Downloaded or whatever.
I'd probably say like one of the old Coldplay albums for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's when I thought I was super cool.
As a CD.
As a CD.
That's an important
yeah.
thing
yeah.
to answer.
Yeah.
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 Immediately.
Their Live
yeah.
2003 is like one of my favorite album like CDs of all time.
Okay, Steve, what do you got?
Sublime. First, and I probably bought the CD four times since I was 12 and
seriously?
First bought it. Yeah, yeah. It's just one of those things, you know, a CD, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Leave it in your car, get stepped on. And,
yeah.
Eric?
For me, first vinyl. Absolutely. It was vinyl and it was the Kinks. Give the people what they want.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I remember I was so stoked buying that album. I bought a lot since, but yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, nice. Awesome. All right, that's all I got for you guys. Thank you very much for your time. And
thank you, Mark.
Yeah,
and, coming
thanks,
over.
Thanks, Jess, and thanks, Steve.
That was amazing.
Yeah,
thank you
that was
guys.
Awesome. I'd love to catch up with you guys again
yeah.
in a bit if you guys are cool with that.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I really want to thank Jess Chandler, Steve Elliott, Eric Van Wiesbeck for their time. It was awesome to chat with them. They're new, obviously, in my life, but hopefully you will run into them in the Simcoe County area. Excellent people to ride with, and if you can hang on, I mean, I guess that's the main thing. However you found us, I'm super grateful that you did. We are on the socials at All Wheels Pod. We are on Amazon Music, Spotify, and iTunes, All Wheels Rolling Podcast. However you found us, super grateful that you did. Have a great day, folks. Thanks.